You have the power to heal and change your life.
You might not have found it yet, but it's out there and it exists for you.
Our intention is to have a little fun while introducing you to various new ways of healing.
Welcome to the Spill the Ginger Tea podcast. Hi, I'm Lila.
And I'm Angel Amy. So today we are going to have a chat with Janet from Windrush Farm, and she is the CEO of Therapeutic Riding Center. And we are so excited to have you here today, Janet. Thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So Janet, tell us a little bit about how you got into horses.
I wish I could tell you precisely, but I was so young, I don't really remember. I do think it sometimes just happens that you see ponies on the television or in a local farm. I grew up in Devon in England, where there are a lot of ponies. And all I do remember is being sent to ballet lessons and after the first or second saying to my mother, could I please have riding lessons? And after that, never looked back.
So you've just kind of felt a calling in, I always say, from your soul. It just felt very natural for you.
Yes, I think that is exactly the way to say it.
So beautiful. So Lila actually has a horse. So you, yes. You've been around horses.
My daughters, technically.
Okay. I have to get that clear.
Make sure she is. She
that
is
very right. Clear.
Yes, that's right.
Are we allowed to tell her name on air?
Well, she's Belle.
Beautiful. Yep. How old is Belle?
Belle is 16.
Okay.
And Claire has had her for 2 years. She was her just out of the pandemic horse, which beautiful. Was very lucky, right? As everything opened up, we raced off and found her. And
right.
She's perfect.
She's the absolute perfect horse for Claire.
Aww.
Yes.
So Janet obviously is very versed in horses, and Lila has a love for horses, and I'm a city girl. I have moved to more of a country setting, and I'm starting to get into really like looking at the horses and getting a little closer. I do feel a connection, but I need to come and visit you, Janet.
You absolutely do, especially for the new clients who have never seen a horse before. It's quite surprising. And for small children, it can be a little scary. But at Windrush Farm, we have very well-trained instructors and very well-trained horses to help you overcome any fear or anxiety that you might have. And then sometimes it happens in a day. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer before you develop that passion that so many horse lovers have.
So, Janet, tell us a little bit about what you do at Windrush Farm, what these right. therapeutic riding programs are about.
Thank you. Windrush Farm is the oldest therapeutic riding center in New England. Oh. It was founded in 1964 by Marge Kittredge. She had the idea that we are all capable of more than we think, and she wanted to challenge young people. She started with a group of teenagers who were troubled, who had many challenges in life. She started the farm with her own horses and quickly discovered the benefits of therapeutic riding. Since 1964, as I said, we're the oldest center in New England. Wow. We've grown to be one of the largest with about 20 horses and one of the leading, always coming up with new ideas to meet the needs of the market. Today, we have many clients who are struggling with anxiety, with stress, some facing addiction, clients with memory care or memory challenges, and the benefits of spending time on a farm with well-trained horses is quite extraordinary. There's many pieces of research that have been done about the benefits, physical, mental, and for your spirit, of being with horses. Many studies all over the world, but I think our founder, Marge Kittredge, just knew that this would be a concept that would take off. These centers are now all over the United States, but Marge started this movement right here in North Andover at Windrush Farm.
Oh, that's amazing.
It is. So do you find that, so let me start here. So I know that horses have a sixth sense, just as I do, mm-hmm. and that they can sense things about humans mm-hmm. that maybe other humans aren't as aware of. Do you find that some horses act differently around certain types of people or certain people that may have a thematic something in their life, whether it's anxiety or addiction or...
Such a great question. I can't tell you scientifically why that happens. Perhaps you know, but it's absolutely true. We had a sweet pony for many years. Sadly, he departed this world before Christmas, but there is an article about him in the Boston Globe because he was so well known. And he is known for one day when he just stopped in class. And of course, our pony shouldn't stop in class unless, until they're asked to. And the instructor went over to see what was wrong, and the child was having a seizure. And the pony had felt it before it started.
Wow.
Ponies can feel that there's a fly on their back. Mm-hmm. When you think about that, that's ridiculous, right? Mm. One fly is so small, but they are very sensitive creatures. And there was a group last week of teenagers who came to help at the farm. And afterwards, the treat is always to say hello to the horses. And we have one horse that is the highest performing horse in the arena. He can do movements that the others can't do. But he is known for not being the most friendly in the barn because I think he sees himself as a star. And this one teenager wanted to say hello to him. And I said, please be careful. And it was a perfect meeting. The horse just seemed to know that this teenager was right for him. And they wanted to coordinate and connect, I should say. They wanted to connect. And you're absolutely right. There are definitely people who have more of a sense for horses. And there are certain horses that relate to certain people. We also have many innovative programs and with our instructors always coming up with new ideas. And one is people who come unmounted. They're standing in the arena with five people in a circle, usually starts with some yoga and some meditation. Then we bring in five horses who are in a circle outside the clients, if that makes sense. And we ask the client to go from horse to horse and pick the one that's right for them. And often my instructor says, Janet, that's not what's happening. The horse is picking the person. Now, and then they become a team for the program.
Do you notice, is there a pattern that you've noticed as Janet from Windrush Farm? Or is there no rhyme or reason? Like, did you notice like a pattern as to why a horse would pick a particular person?
I don't think I can. I don't think I'm good enough to do that.
Okay.
It's sort of a magic thing that I
They're
can't
majestic.
Really explain.
Okay.
It just seems to be a connection. But I think most of us, if you've gone to look at a pony that you might buy for yourself or your child, or I remember when I went to a shelter to select a puppy with my children, it was just obvious.
Like a knowing.
Yeah, yeah.
So in my world, when humans know things, just mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. it's called clairsentience. And mm-hmm. that's actually the number one way, my number one ability. And then I Amazing. See clairvoyance is seeing,
right.
But clairsentience is just knowing. And so I have this cute little story from a few years back where I was at a camp with my husband's side of the family, mm-hmm. and there's five children, and all the children were out playing away from the camp. We mm-hmm. were on a lake, and I was with all the adults, and all of a sudden I say out loud, I feel an injured child. Whoa. I just got off the chair, because at the time mine may have been seven-ish. Mm-hmm. And so as I got up, I look out the window and there's all five children, and two have little Henry, who is around seven as well. Mm. And he had tripped and fallen, and the other adults were like, How did you know that?
Amazing.
Even though they know I'm psychic, just to be in it.
Did you just say that?
Yeah.
Hello.
I didn't. I was glad he didn't break anything, to be honest. Because I didn't know the level of the injury.
Right.
You could just, I feel unsafe.
Right.
And unsafe can also feel sadness. Like if he was crying, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I could just feel it. Within a child element and knew that we had five children, it must be one of ours. And so you're saying the horses can sense this
They're very sensitive creatures. Now, if you think about the evolution of horses, it's an animal of prey. And I love teaching the children that. And some of them know. And one of the children taught me, I'll try to remember what he said, eyes on the side, born to hide. That's an animal of prey, right? Eyes in front, born to hunt. And what's so wonderful about Windrush is we all learn about nature because we're on a beautiful farm. We learn about horses. We learn about people. But we at Windrush also learn from our clients. And that was a nice little thing I learned. Eyes on the side, born to hide. Eyes in front, born to hunt. Now, because the horse is an animal of prey, he always has to look out for himself. But at the same time, very often, he's looking out for the rider as well. So if he hears something, there sense of hearing is incredible. Their sense of smell is incredible. And I would imagine, and you'd know better than me, Amy, mm-hmm. that all those heightened senses develops the other sense. I think you called it the sixth sense.
Yes.
Because sometimes you'll go out into the woods and the horse might be a little bit anxious. And it could be that they smelt a bear, for example, that mm-hmm. you didn't smell.
Right.
So you have to respect the horse because he's protecting himself and protecting you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what, when I was a kid, that was one of the big things that I remember learning was that because they're prey animals, mm-hmm. your energy is everything. So if you're afraid
exactly.
of something, not of the horse, but if
yes.
you're fearful, they're going to be fearful because they're like, well, what's coming?
It's so true.
Why are you
nervous? And I tend to be a high energy person. And because I used to do a lot of competition on horses, I used to be more like, let's go. It's 5 a.m. We've got to go to the show. Now I'm trying to learn with help from my instructors to slow down. And we teach all our children to take a deep breath when they walk into the stall. Look at the pony. We go from the side. Remember, the eyes are on the side. Mm-hmm. They can't see directly in front of them. So that's startling. So you go from the side, gentle voice. Horses love the voice. All our horses are trained to go on the voice because some of our riders are physically not able or cognitively not able to give the aids with their legs or their hands. And we train them all to stop, walk on, trot, everything on voice. And horses love a calming voice. But the irony is, if you mentioned coming from the city, if you are a little bit anxious, you do have to work on that. Because mm-hmm. as you said, Lila, a horse will pick up if you're a little bit nervous. Yes. And it's so ironic that during the pandemic, we had more inquiries than ever because parents were looking for activities for their children, looking for safe activities where they could be outside or up on a horse on their own. All the team sports had been cancelled. And it seems strange to some people that you would bring an anxious child to a stable. But no, we train our horses well. Our instructors are all trained to teach and help children and adults with challenges. And we teach the children to take it very slowly, very carefully. I have seen a child trembling as they get into the saddle. And in a second, it turns to a smile when they realize, I can do this. And it goes back to what our founder said. We're all capable of more than we think.
Right.
But you need help, right? To try.
Yes.
Take a deep breath. Take it slowly. Get on the pony and develop this relationship. And slowly, you overcome your fear. And I'm sure you'll agree that to be able to do something that was difficult in the beginning and you overcame your fear.
Yep.
We have mothers who say their children are singing on the way home because they're so happy. I did it.
Right.
I did it. Right.
And so, that's actually good advice for any situation, mm-hmm. right? Take a deep breath.
Always take a deep breath.
Pause
exactly.
for a minute.
Exactly. Exactly.
So stepping through fear of vulnerability mm-hmm. is crossing over from, say, a lower vibration to a higher vibration. Uh-huh. And so fear and anxiety and depression are on the low rungs of the emotional ladder. Uh-huh. And joy and peace and love are at the top of the emotional ladder. There's a lot of other emotions in mm-hmm. between, mm-hmm. but the middle is hope. And so when a human, so pretty much the horse is giving the human an opportunity without the human realizing it to then move from the low rung over up to hope. I'm hopeful that this is going to be a beautiful experience. And right. I'm not in this alone. I have this beautiful, majestic animal with me.
Right.
It then turns into stepping through that fear of vulnerability, using the hope, and then you go up to joy, and then the smiles come.
That's so lovely.
Yes.
There is a saying, and nobody knows who said it. Some people think it's Winston Churchill, but it was not. But somebody said, there's something about the outside of the horse which is good for the soul of man, of a man's soul. And it's such a great saying. The other thing I mentioned before is there's a lot of research being done now about the benefit for children on the spectrum or adults with dementia. And you can measure things such as, you know, is reduction in anxiety. You can measure improvement in your balance or your muscle tone. Mm-hmm. But we have served for many years children from the Perkins School for the Blind. And one day I saw a young teenager standing on one of our horses. It's called vaulting. They're standing there and the horse is moving. And I said to one of my, and he's the biggest smile ever. And I said to one of my instructors, we can measure all these things, but how can I measure joy, to your point?
Yes.
The joy of someone who's blind riding a horse. It's absolutely incredible, right?
Do you believe that these animals are empathic? Do you use that language?
Is that the show empathy, you mean?
Yes.
Is it empathy? So, I wasn't empathic, sure what that meant.
Yes. It means to feel others' feelings.
Absolutely. And we select them. It's very difficult for a horse to be accepted to Windrush. My former chair said it's harder than for a student to get into Harvard. Mm-hmm. They come on a trial for 8 weeks. They have to show empathy, Amy. Otherwise, they would not be suitable for this program. All of Windrush runs on love and kindness. Mm. We have hundreds of volunteers who help every day. We have staff who are there in New England winters. It's not easy, but they do it for the mission. Everybody gets up every day to help our clients, and our horses the same. They have a job to do. Mm-hmm. The horse, it's amazing that they are created for us with such a work ethic. Yes, they have to be fed. And I tell everybody, you have to love and feed them. It's actually the other way around. You have to feed them and then love them.
Right. I love that.
And the horses do have different personalities.
Absolutely,
right? Some horses will be more successful
exactly.
in a program like yours
exactly.
than other horses.
Some horses, like people, love to be with one other. Mm-hmm. At Windrush, you have to be ready to be with many people. And some of our horses are social butterflies and just love it. Mm-hmm. And others would rather not be so social.
Yes.
But they have to have empathy. They have to be kind.
So some of the horses are actually compassionate, and I'd like to explain why.
Okay.
Is empathy is the ability to feel others' feelings. Mm-hmm. But then when a horse is aligned with a human that mm-hmm. is, say, highest and best for them, for mm-hmm. whatever reason, when there is this intuitive element of chemistry or connection.
Right.
So an energetic connection. The horse actually becomes compassionate. And that is when healing takes place. So compassion is basically feeling the feeling, but you want to take it away. So the horse begins to become, through that connection with the human, and we could talk about love is there too, right? Mm-hmm. The horse then energetically starts to be compassionate, and a human, maybe not in their mind, but in their body, in an energetic sense, can feel the love and compassion of a horse. And that's when the magic happens. That's when the child or the blind child is standing on the horse. I feel like I'm going to cry.
Oh, well, it's so well said, and you're not a horse person. I'm so impressed.
I just haven't been exposed.
No, I think you're going to be after this. I feel it.
Maybe I just need to calm myself, right?
Yes, and that's amazing. Get a little healing.
Because you also offer, you have riding programs for beginners and summer camps
absolutely.
As well.
It's a wonderful place for everybody to learn to ride, because the horses, as I said, are so well trained. And we're not a competition barn. It's about enjoying the relationship with horses.
It makes me like that more, Janet.
That's what it's about today.
I'm going to join summer camp. You
should. Sorry.
But you have to muck out the stalls in summer camp.
Oh, I can so muck a stall. I'm a city girl.
But I also want to mention the other way around from what you so beautifully said, wow, is the kindness that horses bring out in people. So we had a child a few years ago who was bouncing in the saddle. And imagine if you're on all fours with your children or your grandchildren bouncing on your back. It doesn't help you. You don't feel great. And the mother, sometimes the parents walk with the children because they enjoy it. When we go out on our beautiful trails, we have miles of trails to explore. And one time this boy was bouncing in the saddle and the mother asked him to stop. And unfortunately, he decided that would be more fun to continue. And I was there and I just said, be kind to the pony. She's hurting. And he leant forward, patted her on the neck, and never did it again. Isn't that sweet?
Oh, so sweet.
It was so sweet because he understood that although it was fun to bounce in the saddle, and sometimes it's fun to not listen to your parents, when he realized that he was actually hurting the pony, he completely changed and never did it again. So it is a two-way street, the kindness.
It is, but you're super kind, Janet. And when you when a mom says it, we're moms, you have a little anger there.
Yeah.
But when Janet says it, right? Janet's saying it so lovely. I love for the pony, right? My British accent, Lila.
Everything's lovely. I say lovely all
lovely.
The time.
And so the child, children, they're so precious.
Yes.
And it's the approach, and you just let them know out of love that we're now going to hurt the horse, right?
Right.
And then,
right.
then they just, they'll check themselves.
Yes.
Because Janet's saying it from love.
Well, it's lovely. Oh, it's fun.
So tell us a little more about the therapeutic part of the center and what takes place.
Yes, that is such a great question, because we've talked a lot about riding, but at Windrush we teach so much about caring for an animal and feeling responsible for that animal. And noticing things, I think we've touched on that, but when you go into the stable, the horse will be looking at you because he is an animal of prey. We teach our children how to say hello to a horse, which I didn't know about growing up. I didn't know about you should approach a horse from the side. Although horses and humans have been together for about 10,000 years, we always have more things to learn about each other. So we teach our clients to make a fist and let the horse smell their hand, because that's how animals like to greet each other. The horse needs to know that you're a friend, not a foe. Be very gentle. And we teach our clients how to groom, how to brush a pony, which is very beneficial for both. It's, again, a bonding experience. You get to know each other. This is not a place where everything is quick, let's get the tack on the horse and let's go for a ride. It's about building that relationship, as we talked about before, building the confidence in our clients, teaching them about horse behavior, what to look out for, how to know when a horse is not happy. And we do, though, ask them to do as much as they can, if they can. Now, clients who are in a wheelchair, can groom horses. We're just now building a new center, a structure called the Outdoor Learning Center, and it's going to make it possible for somebody in a wheelchair to get closer to the horses, because in the stable it's a bit difficult. But we're just building it. As we speak today, the concrete has gone in. There's a beautiful slope so that we can push the wheelchairs up the slope and get people close to the horse. And we have a ramp that caregivers often come with the clients and can take the wheelchair up the ramp to mount the horse. Now, if they cannot get out of the wheelchair onto the horse, we have a electronic lift that lifts you into the air and up and over onto the horse, which is absolutely fantastic. Then almost, I'll talk about the riding, almost every riding lesson starts with exercises to promote strength, to build your core, your coordination and your balance. So all the adults are doing exercises with their legs and their arms up in the air. It's a great way to warm people up, get them ready. And almost every lesson requires a horse handler, that's somebody to lead the horse if the client isn't able to use the reins themselves or they're a beginner. Many of our clients who have issues with balance need sidewalkers. I hope it makes sense as they walk on the side of the horse. Right. Mm-hmm. Some horses don't like that. They have to learn to be used to people walking beside them, right, who just help the rider to stay in the center. They help with their posture and their balance. But every lesson begins with helping to get the horse ready if you're able, then mounting, as I said, then exercises. And then depending on your level, you'll be walking, possibly trotting. That's when the horse goes a little faster. Some of our clients can canter, but more importantly, there's also socialization element. Some of our clients come from homes. They don't get a lot of activities outside. And the day at Windrush is often the very best day. And the lessons often end with a ride out through the woods or through the fields. And many games.
Perfect.
Many games. Many games to play. Because I think that's important too, that you play together and you meet other people. So as I said, some of our riders are a little nervous, a little anxious, not very social. We have many children on the spectrum who are nonverbal. Mm-hmm. They absolutely communicate with their horses, touching and hugging and playing games. So that's the typical program.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you find, or can you sense a different personality with each horse?
Yes. And if the riding instructors were here, they would be much better at it than I am. This is a testament to Marge Kittredge. I have three people who have worked at Windrush for over 30 years.
Oh, wow.
They know every horse. It's unbelievable. And sadly, because that's the sad fact, that horses don't live as long as humans. So we have a list of wonderful horses that have left this world. But my instructors still tell me about, oh, this horse did this and this horse did that. They know them so well. I think I'm a good horse person. I think my instructors are extraordinary horse people. And we have had clients who've been riding with us for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. So they have so many stories to tell about what happened in a particular situation. It's amazing. Yeah.
Do you feel that your instructors felt a calling for this work?
Absolutely. No question. It's very challenging because you're not just teaching horse behavior, horse care, responsibility and riding. You're dealing with a wide range of people with different challenges, mm-hmm, from the age of 6 to over 70. We've mentioned children on the spectrum, children who are nonverbal, adults with dementia, an adult who's had a stroke. It's an amazingly challenging position because you have to be able to balance the two, your skills with horses and your skills with people. And it isn't very well paid. That's a fact. They do it because they love horses and love people. And I'm going to say the same for volunteers. Our volunteers usually come to Windrush because they love horses. They used to ride or they've always wanted to ride. And they end up staying for months or years because they build a bond with the client. And they love it to come every week to help in a class. And we couldn't do the classes without the volunteers because because, as I said before, we need horse handlers and we need sidewalkers. Right. But I love the fact, if you ask almost anybody, Amy and Lila, why did you come to Windrush? Oh, because I loved horses. I used to ride. I watched Flickr every day. But they stay because of what they see, the benefits, right. The smile. And there is one lady who never smiles. And I once said to a board member, am I sure she's enjoying this experience? Mm-hmm. He said, does she turn up every week? I said, yes. She just isn't probably able to smile. She probably is quite challenged, but she comes every week. Uh-huh. So that tells you that she still loves it, although she's nonverbal. And I never see a smile, but she comes every week. So I think the smile is on the inside.
I agree.
So yeah. Is it a form of like occupational therapy or physical therapy that the instructors are doing?
I have to be careful because they're not trained. Right. I have to be careful and respect the profession of occupational therapists and physical therapists and speech therapists. But they are trained, certified riding instructors for people with challenges. Okay. The association that we belong to is called PATH, and it's the Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship. Okay. And it's wonderful that our founder started or was one of the starters of the predecessor of PATH. There used to be a different association. Marge started it to set the standards out there. And Windrush is a premier accredited center, which is very hard work. It means every few years people come and inspect everything we do to make sure that our horses are in the best condition possible and that we follow all the guidelines. It is possible to open a therapeutic riding center without having therapeutic certified instructors, but that's not what Windrush does, because it's the right thing to do, is to have the highest standards, because that's what our clients deserve. And our horses, they deserve that.
And they don't. Level. No one needs a referral or anything to be in touch with you and see if they would be a match for your...
That's a great question. They don't need a referral, and we have inquiries every day. But if you have a diagnosis, for example, you're on the spectrum or have any type of ailment, you do need permission from your physician to partake of riding at Windrush Farm, which just makes sense.
Right.
And that is something that's usually very easy to obtain. And the other thing I should mention, because people might be asking, the services are not free, do have to pay, but we do now have scholarships that you can find on the website, windrushfarm.org. And I'm so pleased that we can now help people who aren't able to pay for the services. And our sessions are rather like at a school. We follow the academic year. So we have a fall session, a winter session, which is the shorter one, for very brave people who love to ride in the cold. and some people really do love to ride in the snow. And then we have the spring session, and then we have the summer programs for you, Amy.
Love that. All I can think of is I need a new outfit for this.
Oh, yes, you have to have the outfit. It's very important. It's very important.
I will tell you, so I grew up riding.
Yeah.
And then hadn't ridden in years. And over just this past winter. So my sister, we both grew up riding.
Yeah.
Probably 5 or 6 years ago, she was like, I'm going to take riding lessons. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, that's so far in the past. What are you doing? And so she had ridden a while. She was like, oh, it's so much fun. You know, so this past winter I did it. I have to tell you.
Yeah.
I could not believe how hard it was. When I think back to myself as a child and I'm like, oh my God.
Exactly. Right.
But so many muscles that you have no idea.
And it's true. And muscles that you don't use in other sports.
Yes.
And we have clients who come to ride, we call it the recreational programs. We have therapeutic riding programs and recreational. And you do have adults who always wanted to ride. Now they're living the dream, but they're also surprised how hard it is.
So I've actually been on a horse.
Yeah.
But it's been...
Yes.
You know, I'm 47, so maybe 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm just remembering this
counts.
Now.
Yeah. Still counts.
Is my grandfather, so my mother's father, so this is the Italian side, he had a farm in Maine and had a horse, and there's photos of us on the horse.
Yes.
I remember it a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was just, I was so connected to the animals.
Amazing.
And, you know, sometimes the animals disappeared, not the horses, but disappeared for food, quote unquote.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
I had a tough time with that.
Exactly.
That wasn't hidden from me.
Yeah.
So I'm, yeah. My stuff's coming up,
yeah.
Lila.
Yeah. My mother told me the same thing. They had chickens during the war, and one day her favorite chicken wasn't there. Mm-hmm. That probably shouldn't be recorded, yes. But it's reality. It's reality,
it can be recorded.
Though. If you live during the war or
absolutely
in rural places, that is mm-hmm. something you get accustomed to, but the first time it's a shock, I think. Right?
It is.
It's terrible.
Right. We don't think of when you're 5, 6, 7 years old where the food comes from.
Exactly.
But people don't think of it when they're 50 years old.
Well, right.
It's,
well,
it's in a cellophane package.
I can't remember.
Because you don't want to think
exactly.
about it.
Right? Yeah. You wouldn't do it if you thought about it too long.
Exactly.
Well, it's
exactly.
like, don't name the the cow. If the cow's right. going down.
That's right.
Right.
It's true.
Or some people would say the reverse, that you love the cow and you give the cow a name and then you sort of thank the cow for.
Right.
Well, I'm sure some people do think
right.
that.
Well, that's 2022. We're going back to 1975, Lila. Right. Well, this would have been 80 by then. 1980, 1982.
But I am thinking about it more than I used to. And I wonder if I am slowly becoming vegan because it's bothering me more than it used to. Slowly.
I could see that.
I can see it happening.
Beautiful elemental soul. Yes. I could see that.
Slowly though.
When I was a kid, I remember we used to name the lobsters. So you'd have lobsters and we'd play with them on the floor and we would name them. And my parents would always say, don't name them.
Because you get too attached to them.
Harry's going down.
The funniest thing though, I have to say about ponies, let me ask you, Lila, do you remember the name of the first pony that you rode?
Bucky.
You see, everybody does.
And then we
everybody
had him.
Remembers.
Not only did I ride him first, he was the first we bought that pony we treated that pony like a dog or
it's
a
so
pet.
Sweet.
We
so
would
sweet.
Lay down with him in his stall.
Really?
It's
amazing.
The poor thing. He was just loved to bits. But so interestingly, he had an accident and lost an eye.
Right.
And we had done, pony hunters with him. So,
nice.
But in addition to that, he was this dog pony that
so
was
perfect.
Loved on and the rest
so
of it.
Perfect.
And it was fascinating to see how he just continued to trust people. Oh,
so with
the eye missing,
he
was really at a huge deficit.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing, Lila.
It is amazing. Yeah.
He went on, we left the woman that we... trained with, as we outgrew him, she kept him as a lesson pony because he was a great pony.
Yeah.
But his, I will never forget. So he had his eye was removed. So he had like a sunken cavity where his eye would have been.
Yeah.
So a little girl is getting him ready. She's brushing him and the mother comes around and sees him and she's like, oh, what is wrong with that pony? And the girl says, Mom, he's so special.
Oh.
You have to just be gentle so he sees you coming.
Yes, exactly.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. And so great.
And in that moment, I knew we had done the right thing to leave him as because he loved being a lesson pony.
He
was the laziest lesson pony ever.
but there are ponies with one eye that still jump and do amazing things. We're actually not allowed to, sadly, take ponies with one eye. It's one of the rules of the park, the association that I just mentioned. But they often do very well. It's amazing.
He's the forgiveness pony.
Because
he was so forgiving to the humans and still loved them.
Yeah.
So he taught forgiveness.
Yeah.
But then he taught the mother love.
Yes.
Like, the little girl helped with that. But teaching the mother how to really love unconditionally.
Yeah.
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 Exactly.
It's powerful when you really look at that story.
Oh, he was the best pony. Yeah.
But everybody remembers the pony they first rode.
Except for me.
You don't?
I'm ready to text my sister.
What was the name?
But it was a G name.
But you only rode him once, maybe.
No, several times.
Then we got
whisked out of the city. I'm remembering
what was
now.
What was yours, Janet?
Ruggles.
Ruggles.
And
texting Amanda right
at
now.
At Windrush, we teach cantering in the indoor arena when the child or adult is ready. But I remember being taken I can't remember what you call it. A pony or something. I don't know. But I remember being led by my instructor and cantering behind her. You know, she had the lead rope.
Oh, wow, yep.
And I would canter with her. And because it was England, everything was muddy. And I always remember being completely covered in mud. But that's how I learned to canter, was being led by the instructor with Ruggles. And I never forget him. He was so sweet. I also think your first experience matters. If it was good, it's usually something you'll want to do forever and ever. If it was a little bit scary, you may not want to. And that's another thing that's so important at Windrush. Take it slowly. Make sure you're ready to do the next thing.
Right.
Because this isn't a sprint. This is a marathon to teaching you about animals and caring and and the joy that you mentioned before.
And the animals that you're using are very well trained.
Exactly.
They're very well socialized to having people around. And
exactly.
Not all horses appreciate
that. I said that before. It's quite difficult to get into Windrush as a horse because some are not suitable and some will tell you. They would say, I'd rather have one person riding me, not different people. And as I said, some horses just love this activity that goes on all the time.
So do we call them extroverted horses?
I think we
versus
should.
Versus introverted horses?
I think you're onto something. Yes. And if only I could have a form that we could check them or find them, right? So, the ones that love action. But you know, horses do need to be busy. Right? It is an animal that likes to have activities, whatever that might mean. But some of them just are so happy to be at in the Windrush programs. And every child has their favorite. And to your question earlier, I think the horses have their favorites too.
I do too. Yeah. So during the pandemic, my husband and I watched Yellowstone. Yeah. And that really got us into horses are thinking about horses.
Right.
And my friend, one of my best friends, watched Yellowstone as well. So she said, I think I want to start riding horses. So I'm sure some of the adults that are interested watched Yellowstone.
I'm sure you're right.
And so she went to a farm. It wasn't your farm. Mm-hmm. And there were a bunch of horses that she was looking at. There was this male horse in the distance, and he was alone. Uh-huh. And she felt drawn to him, and she inquired. And the owner had said, well, he had a very rough upbringing. No one rides him. Mm. So she asked us, she wanted to see him. Mm-hmm. So she went up to like the fence or whatever, wherever he was. And he actually came towards her. Mm. And she started to pet him. Mm-hmm. And there was a connection. And the owner said he hasn't allowed anyone to touch him since he's been here.
Right.
Okay. So then she ended up getting pregnant, which is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
And so I'm not sure then about this horse, but I just wanted to mention about the beautiful connection.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how they just can sense.
Exactly.
She's a very grounded, present person.
Right.
That would make you feel safe. She's very, very, she has her, like we would say, her head on straight, but she, in her priorities in check, but the way she presents herself, she's a very emotionally and physically strong female.
Right.
But yet gentle.
Right. Mm. But you see, you're onto something. If you go to a ranch or go for a trail ride, which I've done because my family enjoy it, you do just turn up and they'll line up the horses and you'll just ride one. That's how it is, right? But that's not how it is at Windrush. Our instructors spend a lot of time matching the rider with the horse, and it's for many different reasons. Sometimes it's physical. Our weight limit is 185 pounds, just so you're aware. But sometimes we have a child who's rather ambitious and needs a faster horse. We have different breeds at the farm, different types of horses. And sometimes we have a very anxious rider who needs a very steady horse. So you have to get the partnership right so that there is a connection. It reminds me, though, of the Spanish riding school where the beautiful Lipizzanas in Vienna are trained to do wonderful movements. You've probably seen them in shows. And the older horses train the young riders and the older riders train the young horses. So it's a perfect balance.
That's interesting.
And we kind of do this little bit the same thing at Windrush because of trying to find the connection. Yeah. Most of our riders love the first pony or horse they ride. And if it doesn't work out, if there isn't a connection, then we try to find the right partner, because I think there are many sports where you can work on physical attributes such as your balance, your fitness, your coordination, your core. But as you both understand, this is a different sport because you've got an animal. And if he's not or she's not very happy with you or the other way around, then we change it. But you'd be amazed how much time my instructors work on the connection and making the match. The
connection.
Yeah.
So as a society, we can just learn from that.
Yes.
Like really looking at the connection, whether it's a teacher with children, like not all teachers are the best fit for each child.
That's true.
Yeah.
Not all parents are the best parent for the child either. I'm a big advocate. I've said on here before, the parents are the problem. And these children, they do not come into this world talking back to you. There's a little anger in there or not being seen in there or a little misunderstanding that we need to get to the bottom of.
Right.
And so we can learn a lot from the structure of these horses.
Well, and the nice part about it is the horse doesn't bother to get into it with you. It just walks away like, that's you're true. Not for me.
That's true. But there is the other level in competition. There are the same thing where you can have a top combination of horse and rider winning everything, and then the horse gets sold to the next rider. There's no guarantee at all that success will continue because the connection might not be there. And it can happen the other way around, that a rider's not doing well with a horse. So I'm talking now about competition. The horse is sold to a new partner and everything changes. It's kind of the same thing.
It is.
It's absolutely the connection, right?
Well, think of like a marriage. Like I'm a very strong, fiery female. And so I'm alpha in my relationship a lot. And I have a very sweet husband that is okay with that.
Right.
You know,
well, that's the perfect match.
Right. And so that's, you know, a little metaphor for the horse,
but
marriage.
it's also the leader follower metaphor. I've been telling you that my instructors have been teaching for years and years and years, and they have unbelievable understanding of our horses. So when they go out on a ride after the towards the end of the lesson, when we go out on the trails, let's say four horses, most of our classes are for four people. They know which horse wants to go at the front, which one goes in the middle, and which one goes at the back. It's extraordinary, right?
Wow.
There are horses that like to be leaders and horses that like to be followers.
Absolutely.
It's like
that's
people.
So neat.
Yeah. And we know all of that, and it leads to success. Yes. Right?
My daughter's horse there. So when we got her, she was to help Claire gain some confidence,
right?
And she's an experienced horse.
Yeah.
As she says, she knows what's what. So that's you're not going to tell her.
That's right.
As Claire is progressing,
yes,
they have this little bit of a power struggle where Belle will give her a little bit, and she'll be like, "Okay, I'll do it your way." And the minute Claire gets it wrong, she's like, "That's it, we're doing it my way." Yeah, done. I gave you a chance.
Yeah,
that's funny. That's really funny.
Funny.
But those are extraordinary things that you can't, I can't think of another sport where you can have that.
I would agree with you.
I guess with a dog a little bit, but the fact that you're riding a horse doesn't.
And it's
take
so
it to
much
another
trust
level.
Involved
exactly.
in that.
Exactly.
You know, if you're competing on a horse, like the trust level is
exactly
for both of you.
Exactly.
For the roof.
And we do have children who would struggle to be in a team sport, and there are some sports they can't do, but riding is one that most people can do. I've talked about that today, whether you're blind or perhaps you've had a stroke or you're very anxious. At Windrush, we love to show you that you're capable of more than you think.
Mm.
And it's just fantastic to see the smiles when people are either running, although we ask them not to run, but they run to their ponies. Don't run. Or when they get off the pony and run to the car and want to tell their parents what they did.
It's yes.
Fantastic, right?
So when we cross over, the first thing that you realize is how capable you were as a human and how powerful energetically your thoughts and your words are, and how powerful your intention intention energetically is everything here on earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't fully have the full realization of this until you're not in the physical body anymore.
Okay.
But the horses sense it. Right. So the horse is able to see it within you and know it before you even know it.
Amazing.
That's beautiful.
And so the beautiful woman that started Windrush, she had that knowing. Yes. She came in with that.
Yes. Yes.
And she was brave enough to step through fear of vulnerability and start the beautiful business.
And what's really great is people recognize that, Amy. Yes. She has so many friends and supporters on the North Shore. I couldn't think of a better place to have Windrush than the North Shore because it's an area full of equestrians. Marge was a very accomplished rider and judge of dressage competitions. Dressage is like ballet for horses. You're nodding because you know what you probably.
I have no idea.
But it's high level riding, and Marge Kittredge was renowned. Sadly, she passed away. I think it was 2010. Mm. But to this day, so many people give donations to Windrush because of Marge. And during the pandemic, when we were closed and I was concerned of how are we going to get through this, I said to a board member that I was a bit worried that Windrush was going to close on my watch. I joined in 2016, and she said, there's no way. Donors will not let that happen to what Marge Kittredge started. Isn't that fantastic?
Right.
Because people knew what you just said, that she was an extraordinary soul and just knew about what we've been talking about, that the connection is extraordinary, that the outside of a horse is good for the inside of man. And if you can get support, we could not run Windrush without donations and grants. And the gala, every nonprofit has to have a gala.
That's right.
Where we have beautiful videos and people see what we do and become quite emotional. And what's so beautiful at the gala is non-horse people get to see something that they've never seen before. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the video. And horse people just get to admire how Windrush does it, because we do serve up to 160 clients a week. It's a lot of people. That's a lot of work for our horses.
It is.
Right? Yes. We're asking a lot of our horses to one day be gentle with a child who's struggling, the next day trot for a man who wants to go a bit faster, the next day stand there because somebody wants to groom them for an hour. And I call them whatever horses. They have to do whatever we ask them to do.
But they have a purpose and they know
they
it.
They do. I agree with you. They really do.
So Windrush is built on love.
Yes.
She built that on love.
Yes.
And love is such a high vibration.
Yeah.
So as long as Windrush stays in alignment with love, there'll always be money and donations, right? It's just such a high vibe.
Well, I actually think you're right. I hadn't worked in fundraising before. And then I learned that you're not asking for gifts for yourself, obviously. You're asking for a mission. And when you find somebody, and there are a lot of people out there who love animals and then love children and love to help, it's so incredibly rewarding, and it's not impossible. So I like what you said.
Well, thank you.
And I agree with you, because I think we're doing something very special by bringing horses and people together. And it would not be possible without people like you taking the time to speak to me and donors taking the time to write a check.
Yes.
Seriously, take the time.
So Janet, how can people find you?
Yeah.
Especially if they want to write those checks.
That's right. And donate for such a beautiful, loving cause.
Donate.
Yes. I think we have a good website. It's windrushfarm.org, one word. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. But the website is where you can get all the information about how to volunteer, how to register for classes, and how to make a donation. So and how to apply for a scholarship. It's a good website. A lot of information there.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for coming, Janet.
I know. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. We hope you found this enlightening. Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We can be found wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're on Instagram at Spill the Ginger Tea Podcast. So if you have any questions or comments or ideas for future shows, please message us there. And you can follow me on social media at AngelAmy1123. Until next time, be well.